Hello and welcome to My Mom's Basement, presented by Barstool Sports and 3Chi. I am your host, Robbie Fox, and with me is my co-host, Clem. We are back this week with another commentary. I don't want to say a movie commentary, though. What we're about to watch is very cinematic, about as cinematic as it gets, but it's actually the final episode of The Mandalorian Season 2. I got the idea to do this because we just started doing Bad Batch recaps over on the Lights, Camera, Barstool recap with Ken Jack. We've got Star Wars television back in our lives. It's been a few months since I've watched the full episode of Season 2, Episode 8, Chapter 16, The Rescue. I mean, the fact that they're throwing all those numbers at us is classic George Lucas, classic Disney Plus. And as we're watching this on May 14th, it is the maker's birthday, Clem. That's right. It's George Lucas's birthday. So shout out to the man responsible for all of this.
Shout out to the big beard. The Bad Batch, we dove into that, and it's my first experience with the animated series, which was good. And I think we had a lot of fun with that one. Just seeing all those numbers and, you know, the chapter 16, like, I forget all these things about Mando that we had talked about, you know, how it's a little like I don't know, silly is the word for it, but I like it. I dig it. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that I think I forgot about, because, again, you probably watch the Luke scene every week.
I
probably not watched this episode since, like, you know, probably December whenever it aired. I probably watched it three times that day because it was, you know, everyone was so hyped and we did the pod on it. But to be honest with you, this episode was the thing that got me during WandaVision, when that started really heating up, I was like, I think we have to watch these live together, because the Mando would have been an awesome, this episode of Mando would have been an awesome one to watch together and have our reactions on the pod. But I think this will probably be, because of that, in the future, whenever anything big is going to happen, this episode is going to be the base for, like, anything we do around it. Cause it was one of those moments, right? It was probably Baby Yoda's reveal in the first episode, and then Luke's reveal in the last episode, were the two big, oh my God, holy shit moments of,
like, where were you when you saw that? Like, you remember the moment you saw the return. This is only 47 minutes. It's a light watch, a light listen for those on the podcast or those watching on YouTube. I'm going to do our quick 3Chi ad, and then we'll cue it up. So everyone get it ready on Disney Plus now, and I'll do the normal 3, 2, 1 click countdown. But for now, let me tell everyone about 3Chi, the best sponsor in the business. This stuff is federally legal Delta 8 THC. It is formulated by a biochemist, not like one of the ones making the Grogu clone or whatever. These are the guys from the Republic. They're making cereal treats now, vapes, gummies, brownies, cookies. They have so many products on their website, all that will give you a nice buzz, body high, head high, but not with the anxiety and paranoia that comes with weed or the THC that's in weed. I love this stuff. I swear by it. I truly use it each and every day, each and every week, each and every month. I love 3Chi. I love them as a sponsor. I love them as a brand, as a company. And if you use the promo code MMB at checkout right now, you'll receive 5% off your complete order at 3Chi.com. I recommend the Incredible Hulk vapes. The Comfortably Numb products are great. All of the gummies are delicious. The cereal treats everyone says are great. The brownies, you don't taste even a hint of flour. It just tastes like a delicious brownie. And then you're going to get high from it, which, man, that sounds like two great things combined right there. You're going to eat a delicious brownie and you're going to get high. Again, the promo code is MMB at 3Chi.com.
This feels like a good time to, if you have those 3Chi laying around the house, you throw that in. Hit play with us, and then we all go to a galaxy far, far away together, right?
Couldn't put it better myself. So everyone cue up The Rescue on their televisions or iPads or phones or whatever you may be watching it on right now. I'll say 3, 2, 1 click, and then we're going to press play. We will watch the recap together too, because I think the episode starts with a recap. So watch that. We could probably use it as well, and we'll get right into it. I'm excited for this.
What I want you guys, is you click through the title screen or whatever, and then you just go to the end, and it's just a black screen. It says, you know, chapter 16, The Rescue, up top. And then you're going to hit the little, obviously, the play triangle when Bob says go.
All right. So everyone cue it up now. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1 click. We're going to click on click. 3, 2, 1 click.
I always get so scared that I'm going to miss that.
Yeah. I'm always scared it's going to go back. It's going to taunt, but here we've got the previously on The Mandalorian. Man, I can't wait for this to come back. I can't even wait for Book of Boba Fett. I just watched Return of the Jedi the other night while I was editing the podcast. And I was like, man, the fact that they brought back Bib Fortuna made him this fat guy that's just running Jabba's palace now. And then they brought him back to kill him. So amazing. What a decision.
And like Ahsoka there. Yeah. Now that I'm a cartoon Star Wars guy, that means so much to me. Even though actually in cartoon form, other than, you know, just pictures online or whatever. This is kind of like a take. Oh man, R.I.P.
The Razor Crest got destroyed like that, man.
Oh, these metal motherfuckers. This is a take, and I don't even truly believe it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I feel like right now, Star Wars may be in a better place for like the next few maybe like year or so than like Marvel is. Like, and wow. I know when Marvel releases their shit, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the best. But like,
I was gonna say, we got Spider-Man this year, Clem.
Yeah, I forgot about Spider-Man. All right, Disney movies in the MCU. Yeah, I really put myself in a corner with that one. I was trying to give my Skip Bayless hot take.
I love the energy though. You know, I love the Star Wars energy. That's the George Lucas birthday energy. Like, Star Wars is in. What a great spot we're in. The future is full of hope. You know, classic.
Oh, that's right. We start with
Ken Jack on the ship. The Slave One, that new shiny armor. Not shiny, it's actually matte painted, but, you know, pristine armor, I should say, on Boba. Looks beautiful. Boba, I gotta get some Boba merch with like the post repainted armor. I don't know if they've made action figures yet. I've seen custom ones on Instagram and stuff, but I would definitely get a little new Boba Funko Pop to put on my desk or something.
Yeah, the little Boba, he has like the digital stuff on his chest where it has like the, you know, Star Wars lingo and stuff like that. I didn't even notice that on the first couple watches.
You know, it's going to be interesting. We're watching this for the first time post Cara Dune cancellation.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We're about to see Gina Carano, who, you know, we will no longer see in The Mandalorian. I'm going to be interested to see if they recast her or if they're like, we're going to do a new character. I think I heard they might recast because they want to like, take that character back, you know, or I don't know, man.
I would just kill it. If I'm dizzy, I'm like, you're just going to cause that every single time. The actress is going to just get shit on by people. It's like, let's just fucking end it. And
I enjoyed Cara Dune in the show, but she's by no means necessary.
That's exactly it. Was she going to get her own series?
She was going to be in Rangers of the New Republic. I don't know if it's this episode in particular, but she accepts that job as a ranger. And then I think that was the last we saw of her.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love this guy.
That was cold.
Cold-blooded.
He's like, oh, really? You're not with me? Then you're against me. Boom. Isn't that how the 50 Cent, the game feud started?
Is that how it started?
He was like, if you're not with me, you're against me, brother. I sat next to the game at Nobu last month. Did I tell you that?
Trent told me it, and it kind of blew my mind.
I didn't know it for like a month, yeah. And then like we went back and we looked through the photos, and he was with his girlfriend, wife, whoever it may be. And we saw a picture on her Instagram, and then we went back on our pictures, and she was in the background of our pictures.
So no.
I took pictures of my girlfriend standing next to the game, taking pictures of his next to the game, taking pictures of his girlfriend. Like, it was two very different people.
He probably was like, oh, it's nice. I'm not getting like bothered by the, you know, these people. They're just, you know, casually eating their meal. Just Bob had no idea it was a game. Just tied it up, you know.
Yeah, I'll say this about the game. He was so nice to the wait staff. Like, really? Overly nice. Yeah. To the point where we were like, oh, whoever that guy is, he must be a regular here. Like, they all loved him. They were all going over saying hi.
I like to hear that. That's a nice little, like, you know, they always say, you know, the way you treat your waiters or, you know, certain occupations, those are like, that's how you know how the way a person truly is. So
the game was, yeah, he was royalty at Nobu Malibu.
I like my gangster rappers to be, you know, kind at heart, in heart though.
Definitely to waiters. You don't have to be kind to like other rappers. If you want to do the beef, that's part of the game. You know, that's the flight game, brother. But be nice to your waiters. Yeah, definitely. As a former busboy myself, shout out on the border.
That's right, on the border. I like cherish being nice to like, I guess, people in general, but like, it's just, I always say 20% tip is the bare minimum you get.
Oh, definitely.
You have to work to get less than a 20% tip with me. Like, you have to, like, be rude or, like, not even fuck up my order, because that's just life. That happens. But you have to be, like, a real asshole to me.
Even in this bar. This bar don't even look like it has lighting installed, and they're getting 20% tip. I'm giving a 20% tip to these guys.
The game would be an absolute peach in this place.
They didn't think about putting one light in that place. They're like, ah, sunlight. What does it look like when it gets dark? It's an intimidating duo to walk into a bar together.
Pretty nice place, though, I have to say, all things considered. It's much cleaner than I remember.
Especially post Empire War and stuff, right? A lot of these places look dirty and dingy.
Anytime you walk into a bar, I was just thinking Mos Eisley. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Where you can get your arm cut off and it's just not a big deal.
Let me see if I could find it real quick on the pod. I'll throw it on the screen for everyone to see, but I would like for you to see it as well. Katie Shackoff, I believe that's her name, who plays Bo-Katan here, shared a present that Dave Filoni gave her, a sketch, like an original sketch of her as Bo-Katan. And it was the coolest thing. It made me go like, man, Dave Filoni must give the best gifts ever, because if he just giving his drawings to everyone at Christmas time or their birthdays, what's better than that?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Oh. So
that's an original piece of Dave Filoni art.
That's a glow. She's smiling. She's glowing in that picture.
Exactly. Pretty badass. Sasha Banks as well has since main evented WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania in front of fans since the pandemic. Sasha Banks main evented, and she crushed it with Bianca Belair. So shout out to the Mandalorian herself over there.
I like how we're getting. I forgot all the clone heat we get and all that kind of stuff.
She recognizes the voice, yeah.
This episode aired the day after the original Boba died. Remember that was like the big
thing. I believe they've added dedication to him in the credits. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think at the end of the show it says like dedicated to, I think Jeremy Bullock is his name.
Let's see.
Little fire standoff there.
God damn that fire.
You know that's the Star Wars galaxy version of like when two bros and on the Jersey Shore like hold me back and everyone else in the bar is like hard
Come on, you guys have fucking lasers. Don't use fire. It's such a rudimentary thing. It's fucking the cavemen were using that shit back in the day.
And yeah.
We talked about the fire enough on this pod about how it's such a goddamn
joke. He'll use it in this episode against the trooper, the big mech trooper.
It's, you know, like, who uses light punch in, like, Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat? I go hard punch or go home. Maybe like medium kick if you need to, you know, get a kick off. But come on. I only go hard or go home.
You know, the Knives Out 2 cast is slowly sort of getting unveiled. You know, Edward Norton, Dave Bautista. We've got even Agatha, Catherine Hahn, has been unveiled into it. I said to Ken Jack yesterday, Pedro Pascal is like a new dream cast member for me in a Knives Out movie because of his performance in Wonder Woman 1984. Not a great movie, but his performance was so over the top in 80s that it was like, oh my God, he must have had fun with this. He's friggin' going for it on set. Yeah. So that's my – I'm putting that out there into the universe. I'm going to manifest that.
That cast, like every time I see some, like, holy shit. And granted, it's like a lot of they're just using Marvel people, right? It's like Batista, thinking of Drax, and then Catherine Hahn, I'm thinking Agatha. But yeah, just cast Marvel people, which at this point, Marvel is also A-listers. So it's one and the same at some point, even though those people, I guess, kind of I know them a lot more because of Marvel now.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, all A-list actors and actresses are just like, I want to be in Marvel. Probably tell their agents, like, get me in one of those movies. They're the biggest movies in the world.
The biggest, yeah, exactly.
Fucking. And if they have kids, like, what's a cooler thing to show your kid? Hey, I'm in a Marvel movie now.
That's what Catherine Hahn said. She's like, my kids, like, honestly think I'm so much cooler now that I played a witch. I mean,
of course. I would think you're so much cooler. If my mom was in a Marvel movie, I love my mom. She'd be so much cooler if she was in a Marvel movie.
There's our hashtag, cast Mama Fox. Yes. In a movie. That's like that is the grand finale of my mom's basement.
Once what would be
mom in from the basement
her
into the
role?
Movies, we're done.
What would be Mama Fox's role in the MCU? You know what? She could be in like Guardians 3 in some kind of throwback Earth scene. She could be like the nice woman in like 1970s Earth. You could give Mama Fox her old high school haircut or something.
Mama Fox is an absolute delight too. I mean, Large was just, they couldn't fucking stop talking about her. When Mrs. Fox, you're such a delightful woman.
Very few people from Barstool have met her, but you and Large, two of the people who have, you've actually been to Mama Fox's condo.
Fox compound.
Yeah. By the way, Fennec Shand, shout out to Fennec. We're going to get her in the Bad Batch soon.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yep. She's doing her, you know, Ming-Na Wen is doing the voice. I think that's how you say her name. If I'm butchering that, I apologize to her because she's a legend herself. We'll get her in the Bad Batch. Maybe, I mean, she's a sniper herself. Fennec versus Crosshair battle.
Ooh, I could see that. That makes sense.
Could be cool.
I love snipers in general, and like
me shows, too.
I love it in movies. I love it in video games, like being the sniper, like the sniper mission. I'm always a huge fan of that stuff. I also love light speed travel. Like I always love the Star Wars version of that. Even though
I even like seeing the Slave One doing it too. How you see the I don't know what you call that, like the gyroscope movement of the Slave One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
staying steady.
And these Imperial ships, that's like the Shuttle Tidarium, it's my favorite, I think, Imperial ship, other than maybe like the Star Destroyer, which are pretty cool in itself. I've always loved just the way it kind of like folds up when it lands.
I agree.
And this plan, I love that this plan, they're coming out of hyperspace and they're shooting at each other. And did they say who came up with, was it Boba who came up with the plan? I think they mention it at some point in this.
I think it might have been Boba's plan. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's a phenomenal plan. And Boba was so cocky about it too. The way they were like, "Make sure you don't actually shoot me." He's like, "I won't." In his Temuera Morrison voice. I would love to see Temuera Morrison come back in Book of Boba Fett or this, and play clones and see him. You know, let's see some clones running around the galaxy, some stragglers. There are some clones in the Clone Wars that were deserters. Like, there's a famous one that just said, like, no, I see what's going on here. I'm out. I'm starting a family on a different planet. And it's like, they found him, and he's just a clone. You know, you see his face, you hear his voice. It's Temuera Morrison. Yeah, not, it's Dee Bradley Baker in the Clone Wars. But I want to see that in live action. I think that's fascinating.
I like that.
I also liked that while the plan worked, and it was a phenomenally hatched plan, them getting on the destroyer here, the Empire never really fully bought into it. They were kind of willing to accept that ship dying. They were like, no, don't come in. Don't come in. We're going to send out troops for you. And they were like, fuck it. Let's just keep going. Let's just, you know, act like you've been there before.
That's just breakage, I guess, for Gus Fring. That's what he would call it. Just breakage.
Yeah. Very Han Solo-esque landing, too. Mm-hmm. Boba's like, I'm out of here. My job's done. See you.
And again, we talked about this in the pod, but I love seeing how they load up the TIE fighters, how the pilots are there and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It is always like, you just see them just fly out, but there's a whole process to it all. Like, and I think it's going to be a big thing we're going to get. And I don't know if it's a Filoni thing or just what they want to do in terms of growing the universe, but I just like seeing all the background of how everything is done. And obviously with Clone Wars and the Bad Batch, you're learning about the stormtroopers and the whole, you know, backstory of them. I just like seeing how the sausage is made with Star Wars. I haven't liked the taste of the sausage lately. Seeing how it's made.
They just put, I don't know if you saw the fly-throughs and biomes on Disney Plus, which are like 20-minute specials of just like a camera slowly flying through ships and slowly through flying through like Hoth. And you see like a pack of Tauntauns just straddling along. It's cool. It's certainly a 3Chi recommendation. Get yourself loaded up on 3Chi and just, you know, load in. I love, one of my favorite action aspects of this episode is when Bo-Katan first gets off the ship, she throws out like a grappling hook thing from her wrist, pulls a stormtrooper in and hits him with like a flying knee, almost UFC style. Oh, I can't believe I haven't showed this off yet. Look at my shorts.
Oh, baby, little guy.
I'm at Target. Isn't that amazing? This shirt, by the way, this hoodie that I'm wearing, shout out to Cuts Clothing, our sponsor that I'm going to tell you about in a little bit. It is a super comfortable hoodie. It's like my new go-to. Kind of clean too, kind of smooth.
How did you like? Was that an instant purchase? That had to be an instant purchase.
Instant. I mean, instant. Did not go to Target for these shorts. Went to Target for like snacks and stuff. I was like, nope, I need that. This is a great plan, by the way. The fly under, fly yes. back out. And we talked about it at the time, but this is the way to do four badass, strong female characters without making it ham-fisted, without making it over the top, by just saying, hey, they're just badass. They just happen to be female in this scene. You know, you don't even realize it.
Yeah, it wasn't like the scene in Endgame where it's like there's 100 girls who all have
to be. Where they're like, ladies? And everyone... Oh, here are these Zerg motherfuckers.
Do we get the music at this part too?
Yeah, some of that synthy undertones from our man. I wonder how far along they are at Book of Boba Fett filming. If they're done filming, if they're in post. I'm not sure. I know Kenobi's filming right now. I saw Ewan McGregor on Kimmel the other night, and he was in his trailer. They have like the prequels posters behind him, which that really? Just like made me giddy. Like, oh shit, Ewan's back. He's putting on the robes. Obi-Wan's here.
It's a crazy thing that we don't have to like be like, oh, I hope they're filming again, and I hope that there's not like a delay because of Corona.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a normal world at some point again.
Feels like we're finally seeing the end of that tunnel. We're finally sort of out of it. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
Please don't take this away from us after giving us a taste, you know?
I was saying, we're on the record talking about Black Widow a year ago, and we really we don't want this to be the new Black Widow thing. COVID-21.
I've seen some custom Dark Trooper action figures 3D printed on Instagram that are incredibly detailed. Like, better than, and I mean, they haven't even made Dark Trooper figures out of Lucasfilm yet, which, what happened to Star Wars figures? Used to be, boom, 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 boom for a little bit. We're back to like the early bird days where you got to mail in for them or something.
I wonder if there's someone with the toy company. Like,
it's going to make me miss Cara Dune when her gun jams and she just starts hitting him in the head with it. That's a great move. They should fill in Cara Dune with like a dope alien character, like a dope female alien, maybe a Twi'lek.
What's a Twi'lek?
It's the one with the two kind of, not horns, but two things coming out, dancing in Jabba's castle. Yeah.
When you said an alien, that was the first alien that came into my head, too.
It's like the ones they rescue in that first Bill Burr episode.
Yep.
There's the twin brother. That pushes when you know that the Dark Troopers were just not fucking around. It's like when Brock Lesnar comes in, hits someone with 16 suplexes and just pins them.
The problem with the Dark Trooper, again, they have one fucking move, and it's a hell of a move, right? But like, they just punch. They fly and they punch. It's all they fucking have.
I love this shot, seeing the Beskar helmet of the Mandalorian not dent at all, but seeing the metal behind him start to cave in.
Yep. There's
the fire, just like...
Goddamn fire.
Bro, you're only making him look more badass. He looks like Ghost Rider now. Now you're scared of him, and he's kicking your ass.
We gave the armor the MVP of the season, right? And
yep.
That was one of the cool things about this series, that they really hammered that home, which was like, I wouldn't want to take care how important this armor was if it didn't mean shit. Nope, it was awesome. Stupid ass birds. I'm never going to like these birds, Bob. I'm never going to like them.
They're going to come up big one day and you're going to like the birds.
Just like whistling birds should be like a cool ass fucking gnarly thing.
That's the move right there. Spear to the jugular. And then see ya.
Problem solving. That's like a puzzle that you're like doing the video game for. And it's like, shout out to Mando for just thinking on his feet like that.
Yeah.
Was a good move.
In the video game, if you had to battle all those Dark Troopers, you're going to be very frustrated with many deaths.
Yes.
Got to find the switch. Got to just disarm it. Get through it like a speed run. The subtle stuff, but even when Cara Dune comes out of that elevator, starts firing off that rocket, that sound design is like so perfect for the blaster firing off, the missiles, the music's, you know, subtly in the background. Everything about the set design here of that control bay, the elevators, the classic Death Star lights. That's a dream for me, by the way, is one day in my man cave when I get a house, like when I'm, you know, an older guy.
An old man like me, say.
An old man like you, a geezer. I want that Death Star lighting somewhere, like those kind of white tubes, ovals.
Yep. That's going to be Bob Fox's fucking basement's going to be something.
It's
going
to be sick. This motherfucker. Look at the little handcuffs.
Oh, Dad, look what he did to me, Dad.
Why did they get those handcuffs produced before Grogu? What would those hold? A salt shaker and a pepper shaker?
They took it from the calf. They get the salt and pepper shaker holders. Need to put handcuffs on this motherfucker.
Yeah, that was literally like what a stormtrooper did when Gideon was like, we need mini handcuffs. He's like, what the fuck? We can't get mini handcuffs. What the fuck? What is he talking about? It's like, if you think you get fucking salt and pepper shaker holder, he'll notice? No way. Love the effect of the Darksaber. You know, we didn't know how that was going to look in live action after it looked very cool in the Clone Wars as an animated element, but it looks great. Looks different. The fact that it looks like an actual sword, the fact that it has the thin blade if you start to rotate it, I think that just adds a little extra dynamic to it, especially for the people that don't know about it. Just the fact that it looks different, you're like, oh, that must be special.
Yeah, exactly. Someone like me who didn't know what the fuck was going on, I was like, I don't know, but that looks cool as shit, and cool shit usually means big things in Star Wars. He's like, Gus Fring is the epitome of like the passive aggressive, where he's like really not aggressive at all, but every word he has is so measured, and he just like, it really fucks you up with everything he says. From threatening Grogu to kind of like saying he knows everyone that's there and all that stuff.
He's got eyes on everything. Yep. Although he is about to show the aggressive side of himself as well. Another one where kind of like our Batman 89 commentary where when Jack would talk, we went silent. As soon as Moff Gideon started talking, you and me started paying attention. Like, oh man, stuff's getting serious now. The negotiations in this little prison cell.
We really did just like give such fucking like respect to Jack Nicholson, who was all at like 2 volume at the loudest on all our TVs, but it's just something about the dude. He just fucking silenced us.
What a legend. I wonder if they'll somehow bring him back in the Flash. Probably not, right? But like, I don't know. They had a super old Joker in The Dark Knight Returns, the comic book and cartoon. If they're bringing Keaton back, I would love to see just like, I don't know, have a news clipping, have a news article of Joker still in Arkham, blah, 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 blah. If you're going with the fan service, go big or go home.
Yeah, definitely agree. Fucking DC can't get out of their own way, though. They'll never do it right if they even did it at all. That's the only thing.
Oh. Fucker.
And look at that. Just fucking eats the fucking Darksaber. The goddamn armor in this.
Using it like Wonder Woman uses her gauntlet at that point. Love the way he whips that spear out. What a great shot. Shout out to the action coordinator who, before the season, we were told they got from the Avengers and from Marvel. He's the guy that does like the stunt and action coordinating for them. Smart of Disney to be like, yeah, that's working. Let's get that guy in. I also like that this was a short fight too, right? Like, it was a good fight, but you could tell pretty quickly that while Moff Gideon was able to get the Darksaber, he's not a real fighter. He's not like the Mandalorian. He's not like one of the most feared bounty hunters in the galaxy.
Yeah, I like that we don't have to make every villain, every big bad this, you know, equal or whatever, you know? I mean, Mando just beat the shit out of everyone he had to this year.
Right? They're showing that there's levels to this. Like, and Mando is at a very high level right now, especially with the full Beskar armor, especially with the motivations of going to get Grogu back. This is one of my favorite shots in the episode, when he first walks in holding Grogu and has the saber ignited.
Nothing better than when you show up to the party and, like, you got the, you know, whatever, the booze or the food or the 3-chi. Like, hey, like, you got it all there. You got the fucking bad guy. He has the Darksaber, which he doesn't know what that the fucking means, obviously. And he has the cutest baby in the galaxy far, far away.
So I know everything's about to ramp up, and I hate to do this right now, but I got to tell everyone about Cuts. I said I would tell you about Cuts. I'm wearing the hoodie right now. I actually just got the shipment. Tell me this doesn't look like something that you would get in like Star Wars with your clothing. So you get the box like this. It looks sleek and clean, right? You open it up. This is how the clothes arrive. In these nice little bags, is these like Ziploc bags, literally, where you rip it here, and then you open it. Oh, what's in here, Clem? I don't even know. Look at this. I'm going to wear this on the golf course. I just told Trent I want to golf a little more this summer. What a nice polo. And this thing is, it feels like a nice t-shirt or like one of those packs of underwear that they make out of that micromodal fabric. I don't know what they make this out of, but it's like the softest thing in the world. Cuts, our new sponsor. I'm wearing the hoodie right now. Like I said, I love it. They were founded by a guy named Steve Borelli in 2016. You got to imagine there's a relation to Frankie Borelli. I don't know if there is, but I just like to think there is because they're supporting us, so I want to support them. It makes me want to support them. They've accomplished the perfect t-shirt, the perfect hoodie. They've got the Hyperloop French Terry fabric. It's a textile that's temperature controlled. It's ageless. That's what I'm wearing right now. This is like you don't get too hot in it because it's breathable and all that. You can wear this stuff on the golf course, at home, at the gym, on your next date, at the office. Even on the Death Star, yeah, on a ship like this, the Dark Troopers are coming in. You're about to go in for a big battle. You're not going to be sweating. No pit stains, right? Because it's breathable fabric. Cuts clothing has something for everyone. It is a classic men's fashion staple. They've got the plain tee for everyone right now as well. They've got the different cuts, the different bottoms, the different collars. You could choose your own style. This is office leisure apparel for the sport of business. If you go to cutsclothing/basement, cutsclothing.com/basement right now, you'll get 15% off your first order. That's cutsclothing.com/basement for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. I swear to you, this stuff is really, really good. Like, I'm just wearing it here. Let's see what else they sent me while the Dark Troopers are ambushing right now. What's in this one? Ooh, just a t-shirt. It's just a normal black tee, but it's way soft. And this is, you know, I would wear that on stage with Pup Punk. I wear that to a date. Wear that to the gym. Wear that to the office. Wear that anywhere.
That's like, I call it Zoom casual too. Everything you could wear out in public and seem just normal like everyone else, but you could wear it on the Zoom and look nice enough that you're not, you know, a schlep at your business meeting or whatever.
This is almost like the, it's like this, the Empire special. It's like what Kylo Ren would want from Cuts. You know, he'd be like, give me that Moff Gideon. This is what he's wearing. This is what he's wearing under the armor that he's got on right now. Probably what Mando's got on under the armor too. It's breathable. Like I said,
yes. Mando's undergarments for sure.
Grogu maybe sensing something as he gets put down there. Looked a little tired getting back to it. The Dark Trooper's about to ambush. I figured that was the best spot for the ad read before things are really about to start heating up. It looks like everything is doomed for our heroes. At this point, watching live, I don't even know what I was thinking. I don't even remember. But I definitely wasn't thinking Luke Skywalker is about to show up. I think I was thinking maybe Mace Windu. I think I had maybe convinced myself of Mace at that point.
I think, and I think we're on the record. I was like, please don't be Mace. Like, we need to make these deaths actually count for stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I was also like, are these Dark Troopers or Death Troopers or whatever, are they going to actually start doing cool shit? Because I haven't seen anything from them other than punching.
and then they started punching some more. You know where I think the spot to bring Mace back is? I think it's Kenobi in the form of a Force ghost. I think you really hit the prequel nostalgia hard with Kenobi. You bring back Hayden, right? You bring back Mace. You bring back Qui-Gon as a Force ghost. And you have Obi-Wan struggling and talking to Qui-Gon and Mace and maybe even Yoda and dealing with that. I would even like to see bring back the CGI Yoda from the prequels. Like, you know how they brought back the puppet one for The Last Jedi and they were like, we're paying homage to the originals. Pay some homage to the prequels. Like, that's the show to do it in.
What's the name of the other Yoda species guy from the first
Yaddle?
One? Yaddle. Don't bring back Yaddle. Actually, kill Yaddle on screen so I can see him die. I hated that motherfucker.
Grogu's possible mother.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Sorry,
Grogu. I don't know if it's real. You know, people say maybe Yoda and Yaddle got it on. By the way, love Mando. That whipping that little pistol out in front of everyone else when they got their big blasters, like, you got to find a bigger gun on a stormtrooper's dead body right now or something.
Yep, big cosign.
Moff Gideon loving it. And then we're about to get the moment that makes us all gasp. And as soon as we got this, the first indication here, there was no doubt in my mind. I know that, you know, many people fly X-Wings. It's not just a singular ship in the Star Wars universe. But when I saw that coming in, I was just like, these motherfuckers, they did it.
When I saw the first X-Wing fly by, I'm like, all right, well, this is like maybe those X-Wing guys, like,
yep,
you know, part of the public or whatever. But then when it was like, all right, we're just staying with one, I'm like, oh shit. It's the big fella. It's the man in black. The man in black's coming. And not his dad. His dad's dead at this point, so it's the other man in black. Green sword.
Great building of the tension, the turning around. Yeah. The look on Moff Gideon's face. Everything about this moment was pitch perfect. Like pitch perfect. The reveal, the hood. It looks like Return of the Jedi when he's walking into Jabba's palace here.
And this
camera starts to go out. I even love when Grogu starts to, like, you know, he touches the camera or he touches the monitor.
That was my favorite part, I think, of the episode, when he's just going towards it and just, like, senses it.
And you see him at all his power, all his might, Jedi Master Luke Skywalker. I know a lot of people had gripes with The Last Jedi, and they said we wanted to see Luke Skywalker at his fullest. We wanted to see him mesh it up with a lightsaber. We never really got to see that in this movie. And I always had the opinion of, well, yeah, he's an old man. Like, I don't want to see him, like, red like that Morgan Freeman movie where he's, like, just an action star as an old man. And they thought of the perfect solution in The Mandalorian to make everybody happy. The people that had that opinion and the people that had the opinion we wanted to see him mess stuff up. By the way, I thought Bo-Katan was dead here. She really got lit up. And then a massive gasp when he tries to just shoot the baby. No regard. Outrageous move by Moff Gideon. But they brought Luke Skywalker back. They brought him back in his prime. This is, what, 5 years after Return of the Jedi, they said. Maybe 5 years and a couple of months at this point. Luke Skywalker has never been more powerful at this point, and we got to see it finally.
Really wish we had gotten – oh, there it is, Dad, Daddy. Really wish we had gotten the awkward Luke Skywalker, like, oh, I knocked you into the Sarlacc pit moment with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Maybe we'll still get it in Book of Boba. Who knows if they feel confident about that technology. I think we'll probably get one more appearance of Luke. This is my – prediction in Ahsoka. I think Ahsoka will go to Luke's Jedi Academy. We'll get a chance to see it, and she'll go visit Grogu.
I dig that.
And then, as if all of that wasn't cool enough, they give us the elevator scene, the Darth Vader hallway scene.
Yes. Someone did the mashup of this and then the Rogue One Darth scene, which was just fucking awesome. And that's when you geek out. And that's when, you know, this is what Star Wars, I think everyone wants it to be, whether you like the sequels or hated the sequels or the prequels for that matter. Like, when it hits its spot, it hits so fucking good. And this is why you have, like, millions upon millions of fans.
I'll say this is probably this entire culmination of, and I would say The Mandalorian as a whole, but particularly the ending of season two. It's my favorite Star Wars I've seen since, at least you could say I was a kid, I would say, since the originals. But when I was a kid, I pretty much had the originals and prequels together. It's my favorite Star Wars thing I've seen since Disney, from Disney, for sure.
Yes. And Luke just crushing him with the Force. Like, I like seeing when, like, the Jedi use the aggressive sides of the Force a little bit, even though
the dark side. Show a little gray Jedi, little shades of gray. Like, when he chokes the Gamorrean guards for that, just to get by and Return of the Jedi. Like, I like that shit too. Like, yeah, Luke, be a little fucking mean right now. They got your friend.
Just dabbling in the gray side of things. That's just how it goes. That's what Balance of the Force is all about. By the way, the director of this episode directed
Ant-Man, right?
Ant-Man and Wasp, or Ant-Man, and then he's doing Quantumania right now. Also did The Passenger, which that's with the frog lady, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, two very different episodes, Frog Lady.
For real, yeah. That was more of a casual, like, not a downer episode, but like a low-key episode.
Now, I'm like, as I watch this again with, like, the CGI and shit, I'm, like, fine with it. I don't understand. Like, were people – I think people were fine with it. I'm sure there was, you know, the people who were crying because that's going to be with everything.
I think for the most part, everyone is fine with it. I'm always, and I always think maybe I have a bad eye for it, but I really thought the CGI on Tarkin in Rogue One was good. I thought the CGI on Leia in Rogue One was good. And I thought this was great. The only one that they've reanimated that I've been like, okay, that looks like a video game, is Leia in The Rise of Skywalker in the flashback sequence. Yeah. When it's her and Luke training. But even that one, I didn't think was so like bad that I was laughing at. I was just like, oh, that looks a little bit like Battlefront 2 now. This I thought was phenomenal. And I was shocked to go on Twitter and see people complaining about it or being like, they should have done a deep fake. Because in my mind, I was like, that looks like a deep fake. What is a deep fake? If that's not a deep fake, that's like, that looks like Luke Skywalker's face right there.
Yep, I'm with you.
I mean, it's his voice. The voice is perfect. Whatever they did to Mark Hamill's current voice to pitch it up or make it sound like he did in Return of the Jedi, they did it perfectly. Give that person a raise. And here's the sad scene that we talked about from the beginning of the show. We knew this was coming. We knew that this bounty hunter couldn't raise a baby for the rest of his bounty hunting career. He would have to give him up, probably to a Jedi. But we didn't think he would do this.
And I felt that there was the parallels with Luke and Vader when Vader takes off the mask, wants to see him without the mask one last time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And such a like more wholesome, light version of that, too.
Yeah. Imagine if like he took it off and he just looked exactly like Darth, had a bald head, huge scar. You guys, no wonder you guys don't wear masks. You guys are fucking idiots.
Grogu starts crying, like, put it back on.
Yeah, Grogu took the mask. He just like pushes off and like runs to Luke, like waddles over to Luke. I never noticed Grogu had like color to that much color to his eyes. Like he has like, you know.
Yeah, he does. And he doesn't want to go at first too. That's heartbreaking. But your guy.
Coming through in the clutch. It's like, oh no.
Another one where it's like, I feel like this episode is like a sundae that has a cherry on top, but then you start eating it and you're like, oh wait, there's also a cherry in the middle, and there's a cherry over here, and there's a cherry over there, and there's a cherry here. Like, they packed this full of everything Star Wars fans could have wanted. This is like, this is everything we wanted right here.
Down and you're just eating a jar of cherries. Like, oh my God, it's a jar of cherries inside of an ice cream sundae. It's incredible.
Grogu meeting R2-D2. That's as good as Grogu meeting Luke Skywalker.
Some would say better.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of Grogu and R2 crossing paths at some point, and he like loved, like him and R2 got along, and that's kind of what like spurred that. I would love that, as well as just if that was the first time he just likes R2. But you know, R2 was always, you know, like we said, big shot Bob Ori. He's always in the right place at the right time. I wouldn't be shocked if he had crossed paths with Grogu before he went dark.
And shout out to A Droid's Tale. Still looking forward to that. I think it's an R2-D2 C-3PO animated feature. If the Bad Batch and even the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special is any indication, they're working with some great stuff in the Star Wars animation department right now. So I can't wait for that.
I'm waiting for the residual checks too for coming up with that show.
Yeah, really. They added, you know what we should watch or do a review of or a commentary of? They added the original Droids cartoons to Disney Plus. Like from the early 80s, I believe they were. And I've never seen those. I've seen clips, but I've never seen like the full episodes.
There's probably a lot of shit on Disney Plus. Because again, I didn't realize all that other Star Wars stuff was there until I went here for Mando.
The Ewok adventures are up there now. The spinoff like made for TV movies.
Shout out to Mando Lu trying to do like the cool like head nod. Like he's just breaking apart inside. He's trying to just keep it together.
Yeah.
Good guys, don't worry about me.
My niece and nephew recently moved to Michigan. That's how I felt. I was like, all right, guys, safe travels. See ya. What an episode. Dave Filoni, John Favreau, Peyton Reed, everyone involved in that. Thank you for making that for us because, goddamn, now it makes me really want the next season of The Mandalorian, which we're going to have to wait even longer for. I don't even know if they've started on that because they're working on the Book of Boba Fett, which, listen, I'm fine with. We know we're probably going to get Mandalorian in Book of Boba Fett. So it's like sort of the same world, same environment, same universe, same galaxy. But Din Djarin's kind of my guy. And it seems so simple, but the fact that they left the mask on, the helmet, for as long as they did, made it such a big part of his code. the three moments where he takes it off are three massive moments in the show that you remember. Him taking it off to become a little warmer with IG-88 and become a little more accepting of droids in that way. Him taking it off to get through the mission with Bill Burr because he had to get his face scanned in front of the generals and everything. Kind of froze up when he had it off too. And then finally in the finale to look at Grogu with his own eyes, like Clem alluded to, like kind of the Return of the Jedi moment. Three massive moments, and they you remember them because of that. Like, I'm sure the next one will also be bigger, and I'm sure by the end of season three or the beginning of season four, he might not be wearing the helmet all the time. I think he's going to become a little more relaxed on that code, but the way that they've made even that a character development through the series, I love.
Yeah, that's something I'm looking forward to with the with this series, is I feel like we are going to get the growth, kind of like Falcon Winter Soldier, you know, the title card. I feel like as that evolves over the years and stuff like that, I feel like we're going to actually see some growth from the character. And it's going to be weird without Baby Yo, right? Like, he's just
he's got to work his way back in at some point, right? I mean, he's such a big part of the show, but how do you work him back in? How does it make sense for this baby to go off with the bounty hunter? And do you have someone else? Do you have maybe that love interest from Bryce Dallas Howard's episode in season one? It's like, could leave the baby with her and her daughter, and Grogu could play with her while Mando's doing his dangerous stuff. I don't know. He's got to work his way back in, though. Especially Grogu's, he doesn't have the ball. Mando's still got that little Beskar ball from the ship. So they've got to reunite to have that handoff. We'll stick around for the post-credit scene because I think it's a little short one as well.
That's Chekhov's ball. That's definitely getting it.
Yeah. We almost need like a Star Wars Chekhov. Be like this. That's, you know, I don't know. Din Djarin's ball literally is his ball.
This is
the Gamorrean guards.
This is gonna be what Barstool's like after everyone catches. This is me sitting in Dave's office, just like, this is
basically what like the New York Times or whoever like would come to HQ2 to take the pictures for the articles. They would have the lighting set up so it looked like that. This is the guy that played Bib Fortuna in the prequels. He makes a brief appearance in The Phantom Menace next to Jabba during the pod racing event, and they actually got that guy back to play Bib Fortuna here. It's like Star Wars, they love that family environment of like calling back.
Yep.
I actually just did a Star Wars podcast. I think it's called the Midnight Marauders, Holonet Marauders. It was one of those two. I'll retweet it. I did it this week, and they were asking me, like, what would I like to see outside the box in Star Wars? And just off the top of my head, I said I would love for the Mandalorian to come across either Tatooine or another planet where pod racing is going on, and to see an adult Jake Lloyd as like a badass pod racer character. Like, bring him back and give him some redemption, man. I know he's had some troubles with his personal life and his past, but we're bringing Hayden back. We're bringing Ahmed Best back. All these so-called hated characters, give him another shot. Make Jake Lloyd a badass pod racer in the Star Wars universe.
Poor Jake Lloyd, right? Because of fucking all the shit with the pod racing and the prequels.
Bib Fortuna, see ya. You and your staff that came with the action figure back in the day. way he throws him off here is badass. To get off my throne.
Boba looks more like a toy than ever now, too, with like the clean, you know,
he does
and everything. Like, and just what a move. Takes the fucking booze, takes the top off, leg over, sitting on the armrest. That is fucking gangsta. Because that's what this is going to be.
What an image. Like that closing image is so perfect. And the fact that Robert Rodriguez is the guy behind it, too. It's not just Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau anymore. Now we've got this wild brain of Robert Rodriguez that he crushed his episode of The Mandalorian this season. I just watched Desperado for the first time like a month ago. Whew, what a movie. Have you seen that, Clem?
No, I have not. I've seen everything with Salma Hayek from Desperado.
3G recommendation. You've got Salma Hayek in it. You've got Steve Buscemi. And Steve Buscemi is amazing. He plays a character named Buscemi in the movie. He's just really? I guess, himself. Yeah, but it's like an all-time opening scene where he's got this long monologue. Feels Tarantino-esque, of course. Robert Rodriguez and Tarantino have that similar style. But I recommend that to everyone watching. I think it's on HBO Max. That's where it was streaming. Good 3G recommendation. Desperado for everyone. And it could get you excited for Robert Rodriguez's future work with the Book of Boba Fett. Clem, thank you as always for joining the Basement Commentaries. We'll be back next week with, this is a huge announcement, Alex Sulkin, doing The Karate Kid on commentary. Not the Jaden Smith one, the original.
That's awesome. And when you sent me that one, I was like, oh shit, here we go. This is going to be good. And that dude is so goddamn funny. And a movie like that can go so many different ways when you're just rewatching it. I cannot wait.
Perfect basement movie. When he sent me that one, he sent me another one, which it's such a good one. I'll tell you in afterwards because I don't want to announce it just yet. But he said, let's do either The Karate Kid or this. And I said, let's do The Karate Kid first, but let's absolutely do the next one as well. Thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast or watching if you're on YouTube. We'll be back next week. Thank you to Cuts Clothing and 3Chi for sponsoring the show. And we will talk to you soon.